There's nothing more satisfying than suffering in the service of others, sacrificing. That brings great fulfillment. If that is your driving force and you truly love your people, your family, and the people you serve, when your passion for what you're doing far outweighs any pain that you're going to feel, like you can't be stopped.
Hey, what's up, friends? I'm Vince Del Monte, father, husband, and the OG of online fitness marketing. For more than a decade, I've been committed to helping skinny guys pack on muscle. And after building multiple seven-figure online fitness businesses, I've achieved freedom and financial security through mentorship, hard work, and my passion for fitness. And I want to help you do the same. Recently, I've built the best mastermind coaching program that exists for fitness professionals by giving you the shortest, no BS path to grow to 6, 7, and even 8 figures, regardless of your starting level. My coaching was designed to give you the skills, systems, and support to become an industry mover and shaker and build the business and life of your dreams. Hey, welcome back to the Vince Del Monte podcast show. I'm Vince Del Monte, and I have got something special for you today. And for the next couple episodes, we're going to test something out. So it's late summer, and your kids are either already back in school or will be going back really soon. Whatever you were doing this summer is over. We are back to more routines. You know what I'm talking about. Kids need to be places. Lunches have to be packed. Kids picked up. Your schedules get a little less flexible when the little people in your life have stuff going on in theirs. Well, guess what? I really want to help you with that. And so does my brother, Adrian, head coach of our men's development program, Men of Bedrock, who will be hijacking my podcast for the next couple episodes, one per week at least. And he's going to start bringing on some fitness entrepreneurs who are dads, men who are just killing it as fitness coaches in their professions online and who are leading their families with intentionality and vision. And these episodes are going to fire you up and give you a ton of practical tips that you can use to manage your own families as well as head back into another school year. Adrian, let me pass it over to you. And you can introduce this week's first guest, Kyle Carnahan of Superhuman Fathers. We've been following Kyle for a while on Instagram, and I think you guys are absolutely going to love what he has to say. Adrian, take it away.
Thanks, Vince. This is Adrian Del Monte, Vince's brother, and I'm so honored to be with you guys today as someone brand new to the fitness entrepreneur space. I'm learning as we go, getting feedback from my brother, my older brother, as only older brothers can do. So this is why I'm so excited to bring on another fitness coach who is just awesome. But he's more than that. He's raw. He's real. He's jacked. He was a firefighter. He's a skateboarder, father of five. And most importantly, he seems like a good human, superhuman. So Kyle Carnahan, founder of Superhuman Fathers, welcome to the Vince Del Monte podcast show. It is great to have you here, brother.
Honored, sir. I'm blown away to be here with you, man. I mean, I'm just a dumb fireman, you know, trying to make my way in the world.
We're going to talk about that. So, Kyle, let me tell you how I first heard about you.
No offense to firemen out there. It was a joke. Don't get offended.
You know, when I first heard about you, I was at Vince's Fitness Business Summit, and Wes Watson, who is your coach, was talking about this client of his, and I can't quote Wes directly because iTunes will censor some of the language, but it was something like this. He's like,
"Can we give you so many F-bombs or what?"
Yeah, so many. So I'm gonna give you the censored version. He's like, "So I got this effing client who's an effing savage, who's effing up shit in his house every effing day." And I'm like, "I gotta follow this guy on Instagram. Who is he?" So is that about right? Is that an accurate description of Kyle Carnahan?
It's a very good description. And I'm just relentless, bro. I'm relentless in everything that is important to me. And that's just the truth.
So give us a day in the life. Relentless day of Kyle. What's that look like? Wake up. Most of Vince's audience is fitness entrepreneurs who are trying to balance like their family life, their fitness goals, their fitness business, all these things. So what's your day look like? What's a relentless day look like?
All right. So especially if you're in this fitness business, content, 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 my friends. So like You got to make time to make content. When are you going to do that? Like, when are you going to do that? Because you should be on the phone all day talking to people, bringing them in as clients all day. So when are you going to make content? Because in the evening, you got a family. So how does this all work? So you got to create time, you got to compress time, and you got to set non-negotiables. And then you have to use discipline to follow through. And so your day must be structured. So I'm coming from a weird place because I was at the firehouse till 2 months ago. And so I was used to massive chaos and doing this during the chaos.
So tell us a little bit about that, Kyle. You've been a fireman for until 2 months ago.
Yeah. I'm on the books. I'm just on a leave of absence.
So you came from there, and how did the work you were doing there shape what you're doing now? Like, how did that mindset affect you?
I would not be doing this if I hadn't ever joined the fire service. I joined the fire service. I was so nervous. I looked to these guys like they were gods. Like, my hands would shake. I was self-doubt. I didn't had any idea how stressful that job was going to be. Getting it, learning it. I'm just naturally like a nervous, like social anxious, self-doubting individual. Like, that's like my baseline. And so I did have success before the fire service, financial success. And I worked at a bank. I was in finance, and it was all in that boom before 2008. And then when 2008 came, I just lost everything. Like, my whole world got exploded, and all my plans to retire at like 32, you know, my stupid dreams as in my 20s, like, and so I ended up losing everything, which is the best thing that could have ever happened to me. Kicking the balls, a humbling, and having to like build myself from the bottom up from a place of just moving back in with my wife's parents after losing our dream home and getting an $8.50 job an hour while some 22-year-old kid yells at me because I don't know where to drive the ambulance. And like, it was like, there's a Coldplay song. It talks about like, I sweep the streets I used to own. And I remember listening to that song and being like, that's me. I'm sweeping the streets I used to own. And back then, and so I was working, I was going to paramedic school. I was working on an ambulance. I was volunteering fire. And then I was going on ride-alongs because I didn't have paramedic experience, and I was or much EMT experience, and I'm trying to be a paramedic. I have no experience, and I find out that I'm terrified of this job. So I was going on ride-alongs free without getting paid, one or two a week, just to like get experience. I was never home. And so anyway, then I got hired at a fire department. They crushed me, bro. Crushed my soul. And thank God for those guys in Thornton, Colorado, is where I got my first job. I love those guys. They didn't give me an inch. They just crushed me. There's a lot of former military, like just tough, real men, you know? And so went through that. Then I ended up coming back to California and starting over again at 36 at the fire department I'm currently at. And that was another like just kick in the face to start over again as a rookie and go through their tower. And then go through probation again, and then just be around more just savage humans that I just took so much from, you know, and a lot of military guys, man, a lot of like ex-SEALs and special operators, and just a lot of badasses.
So they in that the great backstory. So you I want to get back to fitness entrepreneurship in a second, but you kind of have like fallen into this incredible opportunity, correct me if I'm wrong, through a series of self-doubts and failures. Like you said, you lost your money, your self-confidence was low, getting initiated or however you describe that into these different firehouses.
Yeah.
And now out of what do you attribute failure to your success?
It's just everything. Like when you like get so good at failing that you appreciate it and you have that outlook on it, like even on a micro level or in a large level, then you're like, you can do anything because you're like, hey, well, worst case scenario, I'm on the streets with my family and everyone's always like, oh, that's so sad. Well, is it? I mean, humans have been camping outside and living in caves for like thousands of years, right? So what if I had to live on the street with my family and my kids had to eat out of a dumpster for a while? Wow, what a great comeback story. What a great experience for them to be humble. And so you start thinking about worst case scenario, like, so you do some camping for a little while. Well, I'll rise from the dust, man. Like, I'll work harder than anybody. So like, and my wife's a beast. Like, we will rise. So you start losing this like fear of failure when you look at worst case scenario and you just accept it. You're like, you know what? I can handle that. And so then you're not afraid to take risks. And that goes all the way down to like being on a sales call. It's like, if you want it too bad and you're so scared of losing it and you're thinking about like how you got to pay your bills and all this, like, you're not in the mindset of service. Like, I'm here to serve you. I don't want anything from you. If I can provide value that I've earned because of who I am, then you'll see that and we'll do business. But if you don't want to do business with me, that's my fault. I haven't built myself into the man that can provide you the value that you need. It's possible that they're not ready, but I wasn't able to reach them. So that's on me. I'm not that good yet. Like, that's my outlook. Don't put anything on anybody else. It doesn't do us any good. Hmm.
Talk to me about service. You see what you do. So you're up early, right, Kyle? I'm not going to make you say your number out loud, but you are an early riser.
Yeah, we could talk about it, man. So when I was in the firehouse, I set 4:30 as my time. And that was rough because you'd go nights where you wouldn't sleep. And then I was working on the business at night in between calls too, like setting up programs. And so I was getting up at 4:30 and it was rough. And I actually hit this spot when I was at the firehouse where I was like, dude, I think I'm going to die. I was like I redlined. And I was like, so I pulled back and I like slept in till 6:30 for a couple weeks, made it 6:30. But I was like, man, I missed that morning, that power morning where I could like, I'm most creative. And I like have this time to me and like, no, my kids aren't bothering me. My wife's still asleep. It's just like, I need that. And so I went back to it and I was like, let's just see what happens. If I hit that spot again, I'm just going to push through and we'll see if I die. So I hit it again, took about 4 weeks till it just accumulated. And then I just wrote it out. I was just like, no, we're doing this.
4:30 at this point.
Yeah, 4:30 with night calls and really minimal sleep. And what happened? Dude, I adapted. My body adapted. Now, don't get me wrong. I was still really tired. But it wasn't like that red line crushing, like I'm going to die feel anymore. It just adapted. So then I get out of the firehouse. And I have a set sleep schedule, which I haven't had in over a decade, right? And so now I'm sleeping till 4:30 and I'm like, I can't sleep at night. It's like too much sleep. I'm not used to it. So you know, Big Wes does the 2:45. So I was just like, I'll just get up with Wes. I'll just get up with him. You know, in my head, I'm like, I'm getting up with Big Dog Wes, you know? So I just started doing that. And it's hard, but I like it that way. Like, the whole point is to wake up and walk to the mirror, look in the mirror. My body hurts, my joints hurt. You know, that second you wake up when you get up too early and it's just like everything hurts and your whole body, your brain's trying to trick you to be like, you need more rest, you gotta go back to sleep. You know, you got plenty of time in the day, it's gonna be fine. I just go look in the mirror and I tell myself, my purpose is to suffer. Those are the words I say to myself in the morning. And I get goosebumps and my hair rises up and I'm like, holy shit, I'm living my purpose. And then the day begins. And that's when I go and I review my day before. I have a coach that I work with. I got to submit him 20 questions every single day about my day before and contemplate that and go through some gratitude and try to get my head right. Then I go right into content. So I do content, build content for about 2.5 hours. And then I'll follow up with like my appointments for the day. I'll send them texts, reminder texts. If there's any hanging leads, I might follow up with them. And then at 5:45, I go to the gym with my beast of a wife, Whitney. She's up at 4:30 usually, and she does a little work. We go to the gym together, home by 7:15, get the kids ready, breakfast, shower, calls by 8. 8 till 12, I'm on the Zoom calls. 12 o'clock, snuggle nappy time with little Marley for 30 minutes. Guitar from 12:30 to 1. 1 o'clock, back on the calls until 4. Now, this time now, 4 o'clock, this is my most important time of the day. And this is what I would want people to know, who's the people that are trying to have balance in their lives. Stop thinking that you get a break or any rest in your life at all if you're trying to build a business. Just delete. What about my me time, Netflix time, my drinking time, my party time, my relaxing time? My relaxing time was with Marley. That was, I get connection, snuggle time.
To clarify, Kyle, Marley is your, we were talking about it off camera. Marley is your 2-year-old daughter. Yeah, yeah.
That's my 2-year-old. My 2-year-old, oops, baby, 4 boys, and then our surprise girl who just melted my whole life and, like, amazing. And
we'll we'll come back to Marley soon, but 4 p.m., what, the kids come home?
They're home, but I'm done. So, like, 4 to 6:30, this is war, because I am broke off at this point. Very exhausted emotionally, mentally, physically, all of it. Well, those kids are getting the fire. they're getting the ultimate father in those 2.5 hours. Like, it's party time. And so you can dig and find energy that doesn't exist. It's there. Trust me. And so every day I have non-negotiables with each kid. I have to connect with them on a one-on-one level for at least 10 to 15 minutes to do whatever they want to do. Usually it's pool with Parker, Fortnite with Cooper, read a book to Marley. Rona likes to play handball. And then Gavin's, my oldest, has started his own coaching business. And so I help him with that. And then we go to the skate park or go do something for a little bit, eat dinner. And that's focused family time. When you think about family time, so people think that I need to make more time for my family. I need to make more time for my family. Yes and no. They don't need you all day. Like, nobody wants dad hanging around all day. Dad should be out hunting and at war, right? But the time you do create has to be non-negotiable, focused, planned, and potent.
Say one more time for me, Kyle. Family time needs to be
non-negotiable, potent, and planned. And I would throw on their energetic.
Let me pause you for 1 second. You got 5 kids.
Mm-hmm.
I just want that to be on the record. I don't know if we said that, but you have 5 kids, right?
Yeah.
And you're carving out 10 to 15 minutes a day with each of them, non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Let me give you a shout out. I don't know if you've read Stephen Covey, 7 Habits, Highly Effective.
Man, I can't believe I haven't read that book. I've heard it so many times and I have not read it.
But for you, you might like 7 Habits of Highly Effective Families. It's phenomenal. And the number one structure that he points to, and if Stephen Covey says it, you got to take that seriously, is one-on-one time. So one-on-one time, 15 minutes a day with your spouse. And then 15 minutes, he points to like a one-on-one date once a week. You're doing 15 minutes a day, but those are the two structures in a home that Stephen Covey says are non-negotiable, highest impact, most potency. So what you're doing is the right thing to do. How do you, people are going to ask, nah, this guy's been up for 13 hours. You called it war.
Yeah.
Fortnite with your son is war. There's a pun there, but like, you know, sitting down to play a game that, you know, I'd rather. Why is it war?
Because you have that drag. As you get old, it's drag, like you're walking through quicksand, like you're trumping through mud. We all have it, and it's not going to go away. So what do you want? You want to be an epic father and have a massive impact on your family and build an epic business and change the world in your short lifetime? Like, there's going to be a price to pay, and that price to pay is suffering. So why do you think in the morning I look in the mirror and say, my purpose is to suffer? Because if I can suffer, then I can truly lead. because I have no complaints then, right? So if I'm in some sort of argument with my wife and there's friction, or my kids are going crazy and they're annoying me, I'm like, am I suffering right now? Am I annoyed? Perfect.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
I'm growing. This is an opportunity now for me to step up, level up, increase my stress management, which will bleed over into my fitness, also into my business, and will make me a better father in the future. Because why do I pick 4 o'clock for this time with my family? Because I'm the most broke off in the day at that moment. And if I can give them the best father at 4 o'clock, when all I want to do is take a nap and chill and watch Netflix, then when chaos comes, what kind of father am I going to be? I'll be ready.
Mm. Kyle, why do you think more men don't do that?
Man, I think it sounds so crazy. It sounds so crazy. It's so different. And it's like, you almost don't have permission to do it, because you'd be like, that would be crazy. That'd be weird. Like, who does that? Well, I'm telling you, you have permission to live your life however you want. Like, but for a long time, I held myself back in a lot of ways because it was like not culturally normal. And now I just believe in straight conscious-based living. Like, if I feel it, then that's what we're doing. Like, even if it burns it all down, like integrity. Like, I will follow my conscience regardless of the consequences. That is a powerful way to live, because you're willing to live in such a way that you're willing to die for it. So there's certain things in your life that you'll die for. And when you're living for your life in with that kind of passion and attack, like, life has much more meaning.
Okay, so let me push a little bit on, you go hard. What do you sleep in, Kyle? 5 hours a night, 6 hours a night?
9:45, I try to fall asleep.
2:45, so it's 5 hours?
Yeah, so my Whoop gives me like, I have the Whoop, gives me like 4.5, but I think.
So people listening to this are like, this guy's going to break in 6 months. That's what they're here. 100%, right? Like,
I've been on the grind for like good 3 or 4 years. And before that, I've been pushing at a level that is pretty high.
I heard you say on another podcast, someone asked you about balance. And you expletively said F balance. What do you mean by that? Talk to a little more, because that's what everyone wants. Entrepreneur life, you know, work life. You can choose when you work. You can choose when you do this. And people are burning out. Well, I don't know what the stats are, but I bet something like, 90% of businesses don't get past a year or two?
They're doing it for the wrong reasons. They're doing it for their own ego. They're doing it for their own gain. When you're doing this for the purpose of service, there's nothing more satisfying to a man than suffering in the service of others, sacrificing. Like, that brings great fulfillment. If that is your driving force and you truly love your people, your family, and the people you serve, then there's no such thing as burnout. Because when your passion for what you're doing far outweighs any pain that you're going to feel, like, you can't be stopped.
Mm. Service.
That's it. Like, I was just on a call today. Like, for the second time, this guy signed up for one of my spots. I do hour-long calls. I don't have a lot of space. And this guy comes on and he's suffering, man. He's going through divorce. He's got all kinds of issues. And I'm sitting here like, okay, let's figure it out. Not once did I ask him to join my program. I don't even know if he wants to. I just know he needs help. And so the second hour that I spent with him for $0. And I'm like, you know, you have that moment where you're like, is this guy going to want to sign up? And I'm like, actually, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to change his life. So you serve. You just serve him. And then at the end of the call, I'm like, all right, brother, I hope I helped you. I hope I gave you some value today. Like, you're going to be all right. And he's like, oh, are we done? Like, what? Tell me about your program. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to just sell all the time. Like, just help people, be of service. be a valuable human. And, you know.
Let me put you on the spot. When we started, so this is what I thought. Entrepreneurs, listen, my brother has a big following. He's been in the game for a long time. And when he started making money online, it's kind of weird. Like, you're making money online. And Vince was doing this 20 years ago. So he said to me, you know, you're going to write the program. So I wrote the program, our program. And in my mind, I actually thought I would write a program. And then Vince would write an email to some people and people would pay us. Right? That's what I thought. That's what I thought would happen in my deluded, like, people aren't just going to give us money. So I had to go on sales calls. And how would you rebrand a sales call? Right? Like, what would you call it instead of a sales call? Like, your goal is not to make a sale. Your goal is what? Like, if we could rebrand sales calls, maybe they wouldn't be so, I got to make this sale. I got to close. I got to get it.
I don't want them sensing that I want anything from them at all. In fact, I want to delete that from my heart. Just like with my wife. I'm here to serve you. How can I help you? I need nothing from you. Right? Now, there is always going to be a part of you that's like, wow, it'd be really cool if this person signed up. I can change their life and we can add some funds to our powerful message that we're trying to spread to the world. But if that person's not ready and the connection isn't there, man, I'm not going to force it. And where I'm at, I don't want that person anyway. If I have to convince you to join me, I haven't provided enough value. So I have a hard time with these like technique closes. And like, if someone I got to talk to my wife. Okay, cool. What is it? Is it the money? Yeah, it's a lot of money to me. Okay. We found the problem. Are you scared? Like, is this scary to you? Is that why you're not just, I'll just ask him, why do you need to talk to her instead of pulling the trigger right now? And let's be totally honest. Like, why not just go all in? You just told me that you're struggling and you need help. This is where you want to go. I told you I have the answers. So why not right now? I need to talk to my wife. Okay, well, let's get past that and just be completely honest with me. I can help you in any way you need. You already know that. I'm going to help you. Okay. But I need to know your confidence level here. Is this a money issue? Like, what is it holding you back? I'm not trying to sell them on anything or convince them. I'm just trying to find out, right? And usually they feel you care about them and you've been serving them in this call, because that's what I do. I'll ask them about their lives and I'll try to provide value through this conversation. I'll even give them their macros right there on the call before, with no expectation of anything. At that point, then you know what the problem is. And then you can start to structure something to maybe help them, right? You're not trying to sell them on anything. They want it. They want what you got, you know? So you find the problem, then you just try to structure it. So it's like, oh, okay. Well, would payments help you? Yeah, that would be helpful. Okay. Well, here's what we can do. Or tell me about why you're so afraid of doing this, because I know it's scary, you know. And then you get the details of why they're afraid, or they tried something in the past. And so sometimes on sales calls, you think you're like boxing, you know, and it's like, but it's not, it doesn't have to be like that. Just relax, calm down, and just have a conversation, a caring, loving, concerning conversation. If you really care about the person, ask the questions that someone who cares about someone else would ask.
Let me ask you, when you're going through this, because in my, that's what I was told to do by Wes, actually, when Wes spoke, Pedro's Koulian spoke at Vince's Mastermind, and they said, this was the best line I heard, become the best possible version of yourself and then selflessly offer that version of yourself to the world. That's what it was. And so I knew that mindset. I want to help these people. I want to help. But in the back of my mind, I had my own fears. Like, what if I can't do this? Like, I'm trying to overcome my, how do you work your way through that? Like, you've got 5 kids, you know, you've got a family to provide for. You do need to bring in money. I mean, you live in California, so living in the tent isn't such a big deal. I'm in the Northern Hemisphere, right? We're not going in the tent.
That's going to be cold. You guys are going to level up real good.
We're going to level up.
That's going to be rough. Yeah. Remember winter camping with Dad? In 2024,
I think that stretched for 2 years, guys. Anyways, what are you afraid of anything? Like, are you?
Oh yeah, yeah. I definitely have my moments of like, I was just talking to my brother yesterday. What I've done is I've disassociated with the chemical reactions in my brain and my body to where, like, I call it that. I'm like, oh, that chemical reaction thing's happening. So I'm pretty actually fairly high anxiety. Like yesterday day before yesterday, I was having the freaking, felt like my heart was beating and I had the thing in the back of my throat, you know? And I'm like, I think this is that panic attack thing. I'm having one of those panic attacks. But guess what? I went on my calls and I still got up, still got my workout in, still ate perfectly during the day, still treated my family great, still got all my work done, still got all my non-negotiable family stuff done. Because I'm like, why does it matter if I have a difficult feeling? It's an uncomfortable feeling. You know what's really uncomfortable? This morning, pushing that damn sled, pulling the sled, pushing it again, pulling the sled again, picking up the trap bar and walking it 100 meters back and forth and then doing 20 burpees and then doing that three times. That sucks too, but I'm training for life. So I try to put myself in the most uncomfortable position in my workouts to train for uncomfortable feelings. So now I just don't care about depression, anxiety, like sad. I just don't care. I'm like, yeah, it'll go away. It's like being, I have like having the sniffles or something, but we put so much weight behind these uncomfortable feelings that we use them as an excuse to not follow through with what we said we would do. And then we self-sabotage because of a feeling. Get over it. Just, you're going to win this game. If you just show up every day, you're going to win. Just show up. And look, years down the future, years, you know, like people think I'm an overnight success or whatever. One, I don't even think I've scratched the surface on what success is. So in my head, I have no idea what I'm doing and I haven't even started yet. But they're like, oh man, it only took you like 14 months to get to your level of revenue or whatever. And I'm like, well, I've been building this man for 20 years and I've been learning about body composition and working with guys in the firehouse for years. And I've been living pretty damn disciplined for a very long time, you know, and always leaning into hard shit and into my fears. So I put in decades of this life. It didn't happen overnight.
Tell me about that. Have you always been one of the pillars of our program? I think great programs that help busy, we can talk about the word busy shortly, busy parents, is discipline. Discipline is freedom, right? Discipline. Then you're not a slave to my favorite distance runner of all time, Eliud Kipchoge. He's the guy, first guy to break 2 hours in the marathon. Someone knows about suffering. It's Eliud Kipchoge.
Yeah, man.
And he says, discipline is freedom because you don't live as a slave to your emotions.
Yes.
So have you always been disciplined? Like as a kid, were you raised disciplined? Your dad or your parents raised you that way?
Well, I was raised in the Mormon church and the Mormon life is pretty, it's a pretty disciplined life, you know, like no drinking, no smoking, no chicks, no freaking like no sex, like, you know, so I chose that harder path as a young man.
But that Mormon church had a, like it taught
yeah,
you?
Yeah, because discipline's a practice. Like, it's like learning how to golf or play basketball or something. Like, you show up to practice, you get good at it. Mm. And so I got good at discipline. And, you know, I started lifting weights like at 14 when I was a kid. And I got into skateboarding. Skateboarding is very disciplined. You want to learn a skateboard trick? You got to try that thing 10,000 times before you even land it, let alone make it look good. That's another 100,000. And then keep it. You got to keep that trick up. So, you know, there's a lot of times where I'd be out 4 hours trying the same trick every afternoon for 6 months just to land it.
And then firefighter, more discipline.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to show up. You got to answer the call. Like that night call's coming. And then you come back and you lay down, you fall asleep for 5 minutes. And then the next one comes and you got to get up, you got to put a smile on your face. You got to have a good attitude, show up, help somebody. And you go back, sleep for 2 minutes. Another one comes up. And like, it's so good for your spirit to just have to be forced to serve, you know, in that capacity in those most uncomfortable times, you know.
You have practiced discipline your whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I think people give up, you know, people hear online, wake up at, you know, the 5 a.m. club or whatever, it's trendy, and they do it for 2 weeks. How long does it take, in your opinion, maybe with the superhuman dads or your own experience, for it to become a habit? It's like, yeah, now this is who I am. Yeah, I'm locked in here.
The concept of progressive overload should be applied in every part of your life. So like if someone's sleeping until 9, like if you're getting them at 8, you're winning, right? So get that dialed in. Get your 8 o'clock dialed in. Do it for a while. And then you're like, cool. All right, let's scale it back to 7:30. And you got to be disciplined with your bedtime. You can shift your bedtime and then shift the time you wake up and then just start shifting it back a little bit to where you go bed a little earlier and you get up a little earlier. People say, oh, I'm not a morning person. That's bullshit. That's your choice. It's just the habits that you've had. So if you want to change that, I mean, everybody's different, but from the very successful people that I've met, they're early risers because they know that time in the morning is very productive, and very creative. And so, and as a father, if I'm staying up late to do my work, you know, if I have a night job, okay, whatever. But I'm on that note, you know, I worked shift work and I always showed up for my kids. So if I didn't sleep for 4 days and I got forced and I came off, like I'm dad that day. Like I'm not going to bed. One, because it's going to screw up my sleep because I won't be able to sleep that night if I sleep during the day. But two, like they need their dad. I've been out for 4 days. So fuck me. You know, like that's just the way it is. So if I work all night, let's say I have my own business and I'm working into 1 o'clock in the morning and then I sleep in and my wife gets up to take care of the kids and they don't even see me and like sends them off to school. And now dad's like decided that he's a night person. And it's just not optimal for a dad.
No, you're a bit of a dick actually too, right? Then you leave it on your wife.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. If you take even fitness, because these are most fitness people, right? Like if your fitness intervenes with your family or your business, like you're fucked up. Your fitness should be done while everybody else is sleeping, man. Like get that done, your self-development, your fitness, so that you can focus on your business during the day. And then once that time stops, like mine's 4 o'clock, now I'm done. It's family time. That's it. You know, I do provide myself a window from 6:30 to 8 to come up and clean some stuff up and return some calls and stuff. But like that has to happen in the morning or I won't get my content done. I won't review my day before. I won't get my workout in. Like if I sleep in, I'm screwed. That day is done. I'm screwed. You know, so that's the way I look at it. Like those mornings are so precious and those mornings are literally why I've been able to build what I've built.
I think there's so much truth to that. I mean, on top of all of that, when you say I'm getting up at 2:45 and then you wake up at 2:45, that shapes your identity.
Dude, you're unstoppable. You look at yourself in the mirror and you say, thank you so much for being you. Like what you're doing for this family. Thank you. Cause you have like these strange multiple personalities inside you. You have the employee and you have the boss inside you, right? You can call it whatever you want, you know, but be your best employee, be your best boss in the mirror. Talk to yourself like that's your best employee in the mirror. And he just got up at 2:45 for you. Damn it. Can I give you a raise?
Yeah, I love that.
Yo, 30-second announcement here. If you're a serious online fitness or nutrition coach or an aspiring trainer ready to go online, but you lack the strategies, the systems, and clarity, you're intimidated by what you need to do to get to the next level, and you want to enjoy more time off while making more money, while having a massive impact and bigger reach, give me 2 days in Las Vegas, baby, September 16th and 17th, and I'm going to show you how even our newbie students are crushing it to the tune of 10, 20, $20,000 and even $50,000 months. I know that might be hard to believe. Many of them are even going beyond six figures a month with our organic scaling systems. If you want more information, go to sevenfiguremastermind.ca/Vegas. The clock is ticking and we're giving away a limited number of seats to sit in and test drive our event. And guess what? You get to pick your price. You tell us how much it's worth, submit a fair offer. If we accept, you're in. All you got to do is book your flight and hotel and we will see you there. And the lineup of speakers we have will pay for your expenses 10 times over. So check it out. The link's in the description and I can't wait to see you in Vegas, baby.
David, I'm reading the David Goggins book right now, right? And I don't know if you've read that. That's another one, Dad, on your list. And he's looking in the mirror, putting those accountability notes up all the time. And it's like how he changes. I just want to bring this point home and then I want to transition into a little bit about you as a dad. Discipline is it. If you're not disciplined, it affects everything else. You have to live a life of structure.
Yeah, man. And discipline is the currency of self-respect.
That's so it.
If you want to love yourself, you have to be disciplined. And guess what? That's the discipline, or discipline is the currency of respect from other men too. Like, who do you respect? Who do you respect? When you look at a man, like, I respect that guy. That guy ain't sleeping in, skipping workouts, eating like shit, not showing up late, not following through. You respect the disciplined man. You admire that man. So going into fatherhood, how do we get our kids to admire us? How do we get our wife to admire us? Same shit, same currency.
Let's talk about that. A lot of people might say, well, relationships can't be structured. You know, you need, it has to be fluid. It has to be, that's a relationship.
Yeah, cool. That's somebody that's not getting any shit done and probably is getting divorced.
Let's transition here. We're talking, you structure the time with your kids. So like, how structured is that? I want to push on this a little bit. Like, is for, you know, like Gavin?
No, it's loose. That, within those hours, it's loose. Yeah. I just have to hit each kid. So I don't have like, I don't like oldest to youngest, like, hey, it's your time now. No, like I go hang out, like we're on the couch. We sit down, we chill, maybe freaking wrestle a little bit, whatever, talk shit. And then I'll be like, hey, you want to play a game? Cool. And then I'll be done with Parker and I'll be like, Coop, you want to go play some video games, dude? And then I'll be done with that. And I'll see who's available. And I'll be like, Rona's doing something. I'll just read a book tomorrow. Like, and then I might be like helping Whitney in the kitchen with something. And then like, hey, where's Ronan at? Ronan, hey, let's go play a game outside.
Where's your phone during that? Let me ask you. This is the enemy. I mean, a lot of people blame phones. I blame lack of self-control. But where's your phone during 4 to 6:30?
I still have it on me.
You have it on you. But you have enough self-control to not... Like if you're in the middle of a story or a game, you're okay to not be like, oh, Bing, sorry, kids. I got something's come up. Or how is that?
Yeah. I'll still look at my phone on occasion.
And that doesn't take you out of the moment.
Hasn't.
Yeah. Okay. So you have like a lot of people couldn't do that. They see I got to check something, babe. And then they're gone for 45 minutes.
Yeah. No, like yesterday I had a guy call me in the middle of our pool game. And I was like, all right, hold on a second. I was like, hey, man, what's up? And he's like, hey, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hey, can you hold on a second? I got to finish this game with my son and I'll call you right back. It was the last game of the night. And so, you know, so I'm still taking care of my people and, you know, but I ain't trying to like close deals. I'm like, I'm there just in case there's a fire. You know what I mean? Because my one thing my clients love is when they text me, like, they'll either get like a, hold on, I'm just busy, I'll get right back to you. Like, I'm pretty good with that.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Even in us talking, setting this up, you were right on top of everything. But again, it makes the person on the other end, this is who you are, it sounds like. You're always, whether it's a game of pool or something in your business, you're always serving in some way.
Yeah, man, this morning, 6 a.m., I'm making my wife's pre-workout for her. I make her pre-workout every morning, put a little pink sea salt in there, shake it up, put it in the same spot every day for her. And I get a call from one of my clients, one of the guys on our brotherhood, 6 a.m. calls. And I answer. I'm like, what's up, Billy? And he's like, no way. Of course you answer. He's like, this is crazy. He's like, you have like 350 clients and you just answered my phone call. I'm like, yeah, what's up, man? You know, and those are just, it didn't take anything away from me. Like, I'll make it quick. I'll make sure that conversation's 2 minutes so I can get back to my wife. We can go to the gym and have our time. But yeah, I mix it all in, man.
Yeah, this is who you are. You're not a coach or a you're not playing roles, Kyle. That's what it sounds like to me. My dad told me that the word integrity is the word integer, and that's where we get the word from integer. And an integer is a whole number. You know what I mean? It's like not a fraction. It's not a piece. You're just like, this is who you are, and then you just happen to go into all these different contexts in your life, whether it's the gym or wherever it is. Let me ask you this. This is the hardest thing I'm finding. I got three kids, 9, 7, and 5. And sometimes the stuff they want to do is just boring. It's just boring. Like my son, they want to do Duplo. They want to read books. It's like, oh, bro, we read that book 4 times yesterday. Could we choose something to... This is, I think, especially entrepreneurs who live on highs. Like you're doing exciting stuff. And then you come home and the kid wants to build the Duplo tower again, or play Candyland again. What do you do in your mind to get like into the game?
Okay, I got two things for you. One, you're a salesman. You can sell to a 5-year-old. Hey, you want to get jacked? Let's go lift some weights. Let's go on a run. Oh, hey, you want to learn how to get really fast like the Flash? Let's go run. You want to run? You know, go on a run with your kid, or go out, go like, hey, let's go outside and dig some holes. You know, like, whatever. Like you can sell your kid. Like, I mean, look at my kids. They all skate. They all do jujitsu. Like, I love to skate. I like jujitsu. Huh. Interesting how that happened. And they love it and they're obsessed with it. Very strange when you're the man that they respect and admire, they might start to get into the stuff you like. Now, the caveat to that is you cannot control them or push them. You can gently guide with some words, but they have to become their own people. And there's a huge problem with fathers that push their kids into what they love and the kids don't love it. So if your kid doesn't bite, you can't force them. But there is like, there's exposure to things that are really fun and they're fun. So kids are going to like them, you know, be like, how'd you get your kids to all love skateboarding? I'm like, I just invited them to the skate park and they came and they liked it. But my son the other day, Ronan comes up to me and he's like, hey dad, he's my ADD psycho kid, man. He's like, hey dad, I think I need to stop eating sugar. And I was like, say what? Like you are a candyaholic. And he's like, yeah. I go, why is that? He's like, I want to be strong like you. And I'm just looking back at me showing up every day, my discipline, my results. And like, to me, that's like, oh, I reached you a little bit. Because a lot of times you don't know. You're just like, is this the one that's going to be in prison? Pretty sure. So moments like that are very special, but they're watching, man. They're watching.
But you're in it with them. You are in it with them. I assume you bring a skateboard yourself. I assume you're actually trying to, who are you playing Call of Duty with?
Cooper.
With Cooper. I assume you're trying to beat him.
Yeah.
So you get right into it, right? Like when I walk by a playground, it's like one dad maybe with the kids and everybody else is on their phone. Like you're the dad, like at the top of the playground.
You have to. It's hard. You're so tired. I get it. I know, but you have to. You're gonna miss out on so much connection and so many epic opportunities.
You said earlier, who does that? Like who does that? Like who would do a macro check with his 8-year-old? Who does that? Well, a dad whose kid who looks up to him. Like, what do you tell? Like, you went to Disneyland recently? I've been following your Instagram. Oh, Disneyland, right? Yeah. And I heard you comment on just how the men are just blah. They're just blah. Like, what do you tell yourself? No, I'm going to be fully engaged. I'm going to ride the highest roller coasters. Like, is it because you're afraid of the missing out, or you love it? A bit of both? Like, what gets you I gotta ask, because you've been up for 13 hours and then you're throwing yourself full heartedly into the kids and your marriage and not letting that emotion seep into your family that you might be carrying. How? What are you telling yourself in your mind as you're going through all that?
I'm just looking for moments to just teach my son stuff. And so when I've had a rough time with my youngest. He's just really hard. And my other kids were fairly easy. And this kid is really hard. And I had this moment where I was giving him a hard time about probably fighting with his brother or throwing something or like tackling his little sister or some crazy nonsense that he's doing. And I had this epiphany. I was like, oh my God, he's me. This kid is me. And what does he do in the summer sometimes? Sometimes in the morning, he'll start off in the morning by eating some crappy food out of the pantry, maybe sitting and going on YouTube. He didn't get his workout in the morning. He didn't do his self-development. He's eating terrible food with no discipline. So if I did that, I would be a mess. I'd be a tortured soul. There's no way I could control my emotional reactions. I'd be an asshole. I would be all over the place. I would be suicidal, bro. Like, no way. And so I had this epiphany. This kid needs what I need. He needs to be on the attack, baby. Like, this kid needs attack. And so, you know, we have them in a lot of stuff. They do a lot of stuff. But, I mean, look at me. I can't have downtime. I can't have selfish time. Like, that's when the demons come. I can't. And so he has the same thing. So I need to structure his life and help him start having discipline, help him start living the harder life. He wants it. He loves it. You know, I mean, he goes to football and they just torture these kids and he's just on fire. He loves it. I was like, that's me. We're the same.
What I hear there, if I was a parent, a child psychologist, I would say, you know, your child. Like, you know your child. You know
the most difficult kid. Yeah. He's me.
Yeah. But you have learned that about him. I think a lot of parents don't know their kids. They're confused by their kids. They're overwhelmed. They're on the iPad again. It's like they're helpless to be engaged in their kids' lives. Yeah,
it's like it's the kids' fault that they're on the iPad and that they're eating terrible and that the kid's overweight. It's like the kids' fault. It's like they don't know how. They don't know how to control themselves yet. They don't have that muscle. They've never been taught. Right. And so as a parent, if you don't have that muscle, your kids are screwed.
So you got to model it. That's number one, right? They look at you. Everything that's really important is caught, not taught, right? They're catching you. They're catching you all the time. Yep. Can I ask you, what are the big lessons though that you would like want to teach your kids? Like these are that you would say, look, I'm going to say this to you. I got to say this one to you because this is important. I hope I'm living it out, but I got to say this one to you.
I teach them the same thing I teach my men. Live your life in alignment with your conscience. Live your life in alignment. So integrity. And respect, be a respectful man and be a selfless man and live with integrity. Those hard moments where it's easy to lie or easy to cheat or easy to manipulate. Are you going to be the guy that takes the harder road, takes the punch in the face because it's the right thing to do, or takes the hit in the pocketbook because it's the right thing to do, because nobody's watching and nobody cares? And really, why would you do that? You're trying to get ahead in this world. The way I look at it, man, anything that's earned by cheating or faking, it's not earned at all. And it's just going to poison your spirit. And that's how I look at building superhuman fathers. Like, I must be truly me to the world. Pure, like straight up me. If that is good enough, and I am the man that can lead this, it will work. If it doesn't, then I wasn't ready. And it wasn't earned. So if I can do it for be really me and it grows, then that was truly earned, not forced. And so if it doesn't work, it just means I'm not at a level of self-development where I am the man that is in a position to be a leader.
Let me ask you about a superhuman father. So one of the challenges I'm finding is you can take a before and after photo, right? You go from the dad bod to like lean and jack, right? Paint a picture of the before and after parent. I want to talk about fit. Now, I'm going to ask you some rapid fires in a second. I want to talk about, do you have to be fit to be a great dad? So we'll come to that in a sec. But what's the after? Like after a guy leaves superhuman fathers or as he's developing in superhuman fathers, what's his after? What's he look like when he comes into the house?
First of all, nobody leaves us. That's blood it. In, blood out. So just so you know, join us. We will find you if you try to leave. But yeah, guys come in mostly letting that feeling of being in the mud slow them down, because you can't help but as you age to just get more tired and just feel like you're literally swimming through quicksand a lot of the time. Like you can't, that just happens as we age, man. You're just going to have that more often. And if you can just delete that excuse from your life and be like, because like, here's an example. The other day, Marley just made this massive mess in the house, like toys everywhere. And I am exhausted. And I just laid down on the couch. I was like, I need a 15-minute nap or I'm going to die. And so, and then I'm looking around. My wife calls me. She's going to be home in 15 minutes. I was like, I'm looking at all the mess. And I'm like, do I want her to walk in this room and see all this? Like, I'm like, and I just drag myself off the couch, you know, and it's like literally squatting 315.
That's it.
And I'm walking around and I'm picking up the toys, but it's like, you know, and like barely getting it off the ground, nice and slow. And I had this flashback of back when I was in Fire Academy for the second time. And I was way more broke off than I was in that moment, like to the death almost broke off, that I was like, how are my legs even moving? This is insane. Like, this is inhuman. Literally felt like I was on the edge of death. And I was like, I remember back then when the guys are watching, I sure was moving fast then. I sure was rolling hose real fast with a smile on my face. Yes, sir. What do you need next, sir? Energy. So I go, well, let's just see about these toys. Let's see how fast I can do it. Well, guess what? I just sped up, got it done in 3 minutes. And I was like, there's a reminder. You always have energy in the tank. This is a choice. This is a choice. I'm so tired. Don't say that shit. Say, I'm an animal. I'm a beast. I'll never stop. I'm going to get this house clean for my wife. I'm crushing life. I'm crushing my business. I'm going to crush fatherhood. I'll be up early tomorrow. I'm going to get my content done. It's going to be an epic day. You know, like there's always energy in there.
These are battles. Right. You're fighting battles. You're fighting battles to pick up board games, like, you know, or whatever Marley left on the floor.
Yeah. Or do the dishes. And when you walk by and the dishes are full and you're just like, it'll get done. Somebody will do it. You can just pass the buck this time. Be the guy that doesn't pass the buck anymore. Ever. Never pass the buck ever again. You take it.
You've said repeatedly, men. Give me your line, Kyle. It's amazing. Men need the give the most and need the least. Did I get that right?
We do the most, we need the least.
I love that. Where'd that come from? Like we do the most, we need the, well, I gotta get, you know, I'm tired. I gotta rest. I can't always be giving. You call bullshit on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. If you wanna have a shitty life, then roll with that. Like, this is the way to live the most fulfilled and serviceable and happy life. We do the most, we need the least. I do the most, I need the least. That's also something I say in the morning in the mirror after I say my purpose is to suffer. I do the most, I need the least. Love, purpose.
My purpose is, so your mantras in the morning, I'm going to try all these tomorrow. Okay, I'm going to tell you how they went. My purpose is to suffer, and then I do the most, I need the least.
Yep, and then I say, I am unstoppable, I am relentless, I am undeniable. Love, service, patience, energy. I say that three times. Love, service, patience, energy. And this is why my face is melting right in the mirror the second I get up.
Yeah. Your morning selfies, guys, if you haven't checked out Kyle at Superhuman Fathers, your morning selfies are amazing. you look like a creature ready to like rage war. Just how you're doing the, I mean, but that's you. You're literally responding to whatever you're doing in your business, and it's an act of service. That's what it is.
Yeah, everything has to be attached to it's not for me.
It's not for me.
Yeah, and then you get the best part about we do the most, we need the least. You end up getting the most. But if you do it for that, then you're fucked. So, yeah. You have to do it. Yeah. But that's how this works. Like, that's it. In a marriage.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
If I tell my wife, like, hey, I'm here for you. What do you need? I don't need anything from you. And you do that over the course of a long period of time, guess what? Your marriage is going to improve drastically. And then she's going to start to reciprocate, probably. There are sometimes that isn't the case. And we can go into talking about all that. But in the end, even if you do have somebody like that that isn't ever going to respond, if you want to live with that person, you have to live this way. It's the only way it's going to work. But most people will start to reciprocate. And now she's thinking, no, I do the most. I need the least. How can I serve you? I need nothing from you. And now you're battling to serve each other at a high level. Like, your relationship just explodes.
Yeah. That's what you found as you both move towards, well, as you're moving towards the higher calling. It's almost like a triangle, right? Like, you're both moving towards a higher calling, and then it brings you together as a unit. Like, that's what it seems like. By, if you run in your own lane and do your own thing, it drives you apart. But by moving towards something bigger than yourselves, it brings you together.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're always looking for like how we can help each other in whatever.
Yeah.
Like, she's trying to help me. I'm trying to help her. It's just,
does it help or hinder that you both do similar work?
It's the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about that.
We when we have couples that train together, he takes the wife, I take the husband, and then they're both working on these same concepts together by themselves, but then coming together as a marriage. And now can communicate these concepts with each other and then work on the fitness and the diet together as well. You know, it's not, they're not always both ready to do it, but sometimes, like for me, like the husband will start getting results. And then the wife's like, all right, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm in. What are you doing?
Yeah.
So then they'll call and sign up with my wife, and now they're doing it together. At some point we want to build a whole part of our business where it's like a really high ticket, where we just go into a family that's just struggling and just one-on-one, just dig in and just help them build this like epic family.
That's beautiful. What a vision. Let me ask you, okay, as we're wrapping up here, I want to give you a couple rapid fires, and you give me an agree or a disagree, and then offer some thoughts on each of these. You all set?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Number one, to live an extraordinary life, you have to wake up early. Agree or disagree?
I would say if you're trying to run a business and have a family, I don't know any other way.
Yeah. You can't do the late night thing. You don't think you could stay up like late into the night when the family's gone to bed?
If you're a badass, you can work all night, still get up early and help your wife with the kids in the morning, get them ready for school, connect with them, make breakfast. Sure. But if you're going to stay up late, like you have responsibilities as a dad, you know? So plus when you wake up and you're exhausted, and you meet with your kids, like, where's your head at? Did you prepare yourself for that moment? Like, I need to be ready emotionally, mentally, and spiritually for when I see my kids, preferably have fought my first battle in the morning, which is my workout. Now I welcome my kids in the world. I've already prepared myself. Like, I'm here for you. This beast is ready. You know, I just get out of bed. I'm like, hey, it's time to get up, kids. And I'm still in that negative state of just waking up. Good luck.
I love that. You are ready to welcome your family into the world. That's amazing. Okay. How about the weekend? Agree or disagree? On the weekend, you can chill a little bit.
I don't even know what that means. Like the weekend, chill a little bit. If I'm chilling, there's a purpose behind it. Like, I'll watch a movie with my kids. Ooh, snuggle up on the couch and hang out. But I'm not going to go watch a Netflix series by myself to unwind. That's not going to happen. It's all family. For me, like, there's going to be a purpose behind everything. If there is relaxation time, there's a purpose behind it.
Next one. Okay, this one I really want to hear your thoughts. You can be a good dad without being physically fit.
Yes, you can be a good dad. If you want to be a fucking superhuman father, That's different.
Why? Why can't I? There's a lot of I'm good. I'm good. I'm fully engaged with my kids, but they're overweight. They're not. Yeah, like why do you have to be fit? Tell me about this.
Because if you're fat, you're selfish. Because what do they want? What do your kids want? They want their dad to. You want to deliver your best self to them. Like people are like, well, my wife doesn't care if I'm fat. My kids don't care if I'm fat. Okay, let's do a lineup of you, jacked, lean, athletic, energetic, and disciplined, and you, fat. Tell your kids which one they want. They want. Tell them. I want fat. Like have them pick. Have your wife pick. And if your wife picks the fat one because she's just insecure, that doesn't count. So like what best delivery of myself am I giving to my wife? I want to give my wife a God among men. If I truly love her, then I will use the restraint in the food and get my ass to the gym out of service and love to her to deliver her the best product of me. So any fat on my body is just a representation of my level of lack of discipline and selfishness. And guess what? I still have selfishness. I'm not above this.
You're battling, man. You're battling all the time. I think the best image I've got of you so far, Kyle, is you getting off the couch and picking up the toys, just like out of the mud into the battle. And you're battling. I mean, that's how we wage. Those things have to be significant. Emptying the dishwasher.
Think about it, man. If you are out of shape, it's 10 times worse to get off the couch. So yes, life is a battle. Service is a battle. You got to have the energy to be able to get off the couch and serve your wife. What happens if I don't pick those toys up? My wife will come home. She'll be frustrated when she walks in the house and be like, maybe she'll be like, okay, well, he's tired. I know he works hard. But then that happens again and again and again. Now it's driving a problem in between our relationship. There's resentment. Now she doesn't feel served and taken care of. She's frustrated. She doesn't even really know why. When all you had to do is get your ass up and just pick the toys up. Do that consistently.
Just pick the toys up. Guys, just pick the toys up.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, two more. Some guys have more demanding jobs than others. You hear this, right? Like, oh, what? You know, you don't know. I'm busy. I got a lot on the go. How do you respond to that one?
I just tell them what I do. Then I go, if I'm your coach, I live harder than you so that I can tell you to shut the fuck up and that's get your work done.
Their reaction is silence. What's the reaction when you say that?
Usually they laugh. They're like, that's cool. Because you want to be led by someone who's leading from the front and living by example. And if I'm going to lead these men, then I have to live it. Otherwise, I can't lead. I have to live it. And if I can live just a little bit harder than them, when they have complaints, I can be like, I didn't seem to have a problem this morning. Why didn't you get yours in? You know, I have the right to speak a little harder out of love, just like a parent. If you talk, but you don't live it, at some point, the kids aren't going to listen to what you say anymore.
Okay, this is my last one then. Personal, the other day, couldn't get out of bed, right? And in our program, we tell the guys, that's one of our daily disciplines. Stack wins. Time's not necessarily as important, but stack wins. And I couldn't do it myself, right? I lose my temper still with my kids. I'm not perfect, like you say, right? Like,
I do too. Yeah.
So tell me what my statement, agree or disagree, coach or dad can't be perfect? Has to be perfect? Would you say?
Oh, no.
Where does vulnerability, where does that fit into all of this?
Listen, you have to delete guilt and shame out of this whole game. Mm. All of it. No, there's no room for it. This is called a struggle for a reason. So the ultimate power behind this is quick comeback, right? You're going to fail. You're going to have messed up days. Your diet's going to struggle. You're going to have a weekend that sucks. You're going to snap at your wife. You're going to snap at your kids. You are. But just picture this. So when your wife tells you how terrible you are today because she's hurting, you're actually killing it. We'll say she gets on you and you snap back at her. Do you know what I do for this family? Are you serious? Do you know I got up early this morning and I did this? You know how much money I brought home? I was right. Stop. Just stop yourself right there. Just stop and go. I'm so sorry. You don't deserve to be talked to like that. That was just, I lost control and I really apologize. You seem like you're frustrated. Is there anything I can do for you? Guess what? You're immediately forgiven. In fact, your wife will be like, Say what?
Hey, what's wrong with you?
Oh, shoot. Did that just happen? Right? So even with your kids, like last night, Ronan is harassing Marley like nonstop. I told him four times. And so I'm texting one of my clients or something. And he's over there just like on top of her and she's crying. And I just, Ronan, I told you. And I'm like, there it was. He got me. Yeah. So I'm like, walk over to him. I go, hey, listen, I'm sorry I yelled at you. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But you've got to listen, bro. And so guess what? Now you're done. Go upstairs, take a shower. You're done for the night. You know, because, and sometimes you will give a harsh, biting remark, but it should be tact, not emotion.
Yeah.
Right. I reacted with emotion, which that's the problem.
How'd that play out? How was Rowan and you this morning?
It's like it never happened, man. Like it never happened last night. Just after that, like your kids, man, when you apologize to your kids, they're just like, I love you, Dad. You know?
How this is my last question. I know I'm pushing here. I know you will, Kyle. I know, but I want you to get a little bit of rest. You got some toys to pick up, I bet. when you, in those moments, I have those rage moments, amygdala hijack, right? You just like rage.
Yeah, totally.
Totally what it is. Most guys don't apologize out of pride, right? I'm not doing, no. Like it's just this like thing inside of you. No, I'm not apologizing. No, like no, it feels good to hold on to your shit. Like it feels good to feel like
hold the poison in.
That's what you think. It's poison. It feels good poison. To hold it. Yeah.
Who cares if it's your wife's fault that you had that you're about your dumb argument about you know how you were supposed to shampoo the carpets in the car? Like Jesus. Like, come on. Are you seriously going to ruin your relationship in the day over this argument? Like, let her have it. Give it away.
Yeah.
Stop. Just, you're the leader here. Like, you're the leader of the family and you're arguing over nonsense all day. You're embarrassing. Stop it. Like, step up and take the higher road and let her cool off. Maybe at some point you'll be able to talk about it, but now's not the time. So just let it go.
You always come back to your higher values. This is me holding on to my poison is not an act of service. Got to let it go. Even if it hurts, even if you got to pull yourself out of the mud there. I mean, you've said so many great things. Hey, where can people find you?
Instagram at Superhuman Fathers. It's mainly spot and then superhumanfathers.com. I'm definitely like archaic in my business. Like, my website sucks. I never really planned anything. Like all my leads are like DMs that I voice message back. Like I have no sales team that's working. I'm trying to build something to keep connection as we scale because there's something very powerful and special about being part of this brotherhood and being very connected. So the website, the Instagram, you can DM me. Or you can fill out a join. There's a join me button on the website, or you can download my ebook too. I got an ebook on the website.
It's amazing. Kyle, this has been such a treat. Holy smokes. I got to go debrief this whole episode with my wife right now. This has just been inspiring. I said at the start of the call, you just seem like the real deal and you, my friend, are the real deal. So thank you for being here with me today.
Dude, so I love it so much. And like your questions are epic. Like I've been on a lot of podcasts and like, it's like very, the guiding of the conversation is like everything. Like I didn't even feel like we've been doing this for an hour and 20 minutes or whatever. Like I could talk to you forever, bro. Thank you.
Yo, thank you so much for listening. I hope you got a ton of value. And as a token of my appreciation for enjoying the show, if you don't mind leaving a 5-star rating as well as a genuine review, whether it's a sentence or a paragraph, that's up to you. I would like to extend my gratitude by sending you a free sample of my all-day energy formula, Preload. It is the world's only all-day energy and focus formula, and you will love it. All you got to do is head on over to iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review, take a screenshot, and then send it over to me on my Instagram account at Vince Del Monte with your home address, and we will get that shipped out. You are amazing. Thank you, and we'll see you in the next episode.